Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whelan, and welcome back, my friends. First, a big welcome to all those listening online at rbnlive.com. Those just now joining us on shortwave at 13570, and the dozens of micro-broadcasting stations who are members of the National Association of Micro-Broadcasters out there who are carrying this program. My sincerest thanks and gratitude to you all. Folks, make sure you check out the website, franklyspeakingradio.com, for information on all of our news stories, all of our guests that we've had on all week long, and, of course, the phone number there to interact with our guests today, 1-800-313-9443. We're just now wrapping up with Debbie Morrow from New Millennium Concepts. All right, time to move on to our second guest here today, my friends. Very excited to have him with us. He is an author. He's a speaker. He's a researcher. He is an expert on terrorism, and he's also a veteran. He knows what he's talking about, and he's been on the show several times giving us his valuable and incredible insights into what is going on around the world and here in this country as well. Now, each time we have him on, he absolutely dazzles us with his information. His book that he sent me is called Feel Safe Anywhere. I wholeheartedly recommend this for each and every individual out there. Now, the book was written, I guess, about 92 is when it was put out. But I tell you what, this is more timely now than I can remember back all the way from 92. It seems more timely now. All this information is very, very relevant, very important. And for those parents out there, if you've got kids, particularly daughters, and maybe they're going away to college or they happen to go and decide to get an apartment and live by themselves, this is a must-have. And again, with Christmas, I'm terrible at coming up with gift ideas, so I'm trying to give you guys some ideas on how to do this. Maybe come up with some suggestions. Please welcome back to the show, John Moore. John, welcome back, my friend.
Frank, good morning. Thank you very much.
Very, very pleased to have you here. Give out your 800 number for people if they want orders for your book or your video.
It's as I said, I think it's a great idea. My toll-free number is 866-965-3007.
All right.
And don't call until 11 o'clock Central Time.
Yes, please, if you don't mind.
Well, I won't be reachable, that's all.
Yes, yes. But they can leave a message. And also, of course, your website, thelibertyman.com. But the phone number, 866-965-3007. John, stay with us. We'll come back, and we're going to dive into some fun stuff here today, folks. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here today, my friends. It is Friday, and a lot of things going on today and all weekend long. Certainly, I'm one of the people out there who I love to try to stay in the loop every single day, regardless of what day it is. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is to keep Republic Broadcasting on your radio over the course of the weekend as well. And there's a new reason for that, and that is because of my guest today. He has an incredible program that I encourage you all to listen to. Obviously, you've heard him on this show several times, and you're going to want to hear him doing his own show without being prompted by moronic questions by me. He is just a fantastic guy, just chock full of information, and we're thrilled to have him with us here today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, John Moore. John, glad to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your show.
Well, it's politically driven, issue-oriented, live call-in. I haven't started bringing in guests yet. Once I get a little bit better used to the format and what we're doing, I'll be bringing in some very interesting guests that have authored books and spoken with authority on a number of interesting topics, including the Russian Spetsnaz being here in the United States. Things like that. Very difficult to find experts in their chosen fields.
That's wonderful. Well, you are certainly a feather in our cap here at the network, my friend. I'm so pleased to have you on board. Now, I know that the last time we had talked, We had said that the show was coming, but we have not actually had a chance to have you back on yet. Now that it's up and running, and I know that you're pleased with all the technological miracles that have made that happen. So,
pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. What time are they listening? It's tomorrow, right?
That's Saturdays, mm-hmm. and it's from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time.
Outstanding.
And that shortwave frequency is 12.160, and, of course, rbnlive.com.
Outstanding, my friend. Well, very good. Well, as I said, you know, you're one of those guys, John, that I just love to be able to chat with, because I don't think there's anything you couldn't answer. I don't think there's any subject you couldn't speak very knowledgeably and credibly on. So it's always wonderful to have you on, because it's not just the same material all the time. And one of the things I think is incredible is your forthcoming engagement, I guess, with the Prophecy Club. You'll be doing a tour. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that'll be a 7-city nationwide speaking tour the second week of January. So we're coming up in about 4 weeks. And I'll be speaking on Planet X, the 10th planet, Nibiru, as it's called in the Bible. And quite frankly, Frank, this has become one of the best-kept secrets in the United States government.
Oh, wow.
They do not want people to know about this. They don't want people to panic. They want people to keep going to work and paying their mortgage.
Sure.
So you're not going to have anything publicly discussed except in the most derisive terms or the terms that would make it sound and seem laughable.
Yes.
That's the only public discourse there'll be in terms of any mass media attention.
That is amazing. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that is allowed to be discussed in certain realms like the internet and whatnot, because that's deemed fringe and therefore not credible, as you said. So to have information out there that you've got, and information coming from you as a source, the listeners are already on board with what you're doing and your material. So I imagine many, many jaws across the country and probably the world have just hit the floor there, John.
Well, I don't know about that, but here's the way they marginalize things.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks before this national election in November, there was some public discussion about the pending draft. And get this, Frank. Pending legislation before the United States Congress. Now, that's pretty real. I mean, you can get your hands around that. Pending legislation before the United States Congress to implement the draft was referred to as, quote-unquote, internet rumors.
Now, that's true.
That's true. That's absolutely
true.
They can take anything and make it appear to be any way they choose. Now, when legislation has been proposed and sponsored and put before the United States Congress, that's a long way from being a quote-unquote internet rumor.
That's very true.
But that's, you know, they can make you, no matter what your credibility is or how verifiable your information is, they can make you appear to be a nutcase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They'd love to ignore something, then they'd love to discredit something. Now, I got to tell you this, John. This is so amazing to me, simply because I had interviewed a guy who had told me that a lot of the things that we hear and see out there in our country today are done for a purpose to prepare people for something other than terrorism. And I said, well, explain that to me. And he said, okay, let's take a look at some things. He said, you've got the color-coded terror alert system. You've got the ability, like the emergency alert system, to break into radio broadcasts, television broadcasts, things like that. We all, when we're flipping on channels and we see Fox News Alert or News Alert, CNN, we stop and we figure out what it is. So, you know, we're very conditioned for that purpose. Ready.gov suggests several days worth of food and water supply and emergency medicines. We've got a very much a surveillance and tracking-oriented society for the population. DARPA and the Pentagon have pushed extensively for the last few years into non-lethal weapons for crowd control and crowd dispersion. Given all that, plus the Pentagon's climate report that they released, saying that in the next 10 years we'll see water levels rising, various countries will be swamped, and these refugees will try to make it to these nations. This will happen. We will see wars fought purely for the survival of these nations, not for acquisition of natural resources or monetary wealth, but simply for survival purposes. And when you factor all that in, it seems very, very likely that we are being prepared for a natural disaster that would cause mass chaos all over the planet, as well as rioting and certainly just a bad situation top to bottom.
Well, Frank, you've been doing your homework, obviously, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, the Pentagon weather report is a climate change report, is a sanitized version of what's really going to happen. That's for public consumption. The classified version of that is far worse. And, of course, what they don't say in the Pentagon report is the triggering mechanism. The triggering mechanism, of course, is the 10th planet. Now, here's the problem that people have that have just looked at it a little bit and haven't got in too deep. What they're looking for is a date.
Right.
What's the date going to be? And that's how I first started approaching it,
mm-hmm.
because that's how we approach most matters that we have to deal with.
Sure.
There's not going to be a date. Here's what there's going to be. In fact, we're already in it. There's going to be a number of years of events happening, some worse, some not so bad, that will go on and go on and go on. Water levels rising is part of what's probably going to happen. And when I say water levels, I mean the oceans, of course. One of the possible effects that Planet X could trigger is the breaking away of the Ross Ice Shelf in the Antarctic continent. Now, this is a block of ice the size of Texas, 600 to 3,000 feet above sea level. Now, that's a lot of ice. That's Texas is 265,000 square miles.
Jeez.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's, now, it's one thing to say it in numbers.
People don't want to hear this, but for anybody listening out there, we have a U.S. Navy, and inside the U.S. Navy is something called the Submarine Corps. The Submarine Corps is almost like an institution in and of itself, almost separate and apart from the Navy. Everybody in the Submarine Corps has an IQ high enough to be an officer. There's no dummies in there. These men have known for decades the possible effects of the Ross Ice Shelf breaking away and melting into the oceans, raising the ocean levels at least 16 feet, possibly 2 to 3 times that much.
And that may not sound like a lot, but people need to understand that the waves that we saw in the midst of that hurricane season weren't even that big for the most part.
Waves are a temporary event that lasts only for a few minutes.
True.
We're talking about a permanent rising of the ocean levels. The state of Florida, for example, the highest point above sea level in the state of Florida is about 55 feet above sea level, which means at least half of Florida would be gone. No more Florida.
Wow.
An inland sea stretching all the way from Hudson Bay and encompassing what's now the Great Lakes, about half of Michigan being gone, an inland sea coming up from New Orleans, stretching up towards Nashville and into southern Illinois. These are just some of the effects, and that's just water. We've had, you may have caught this since you pay attention to the news, about 3 weeks ago today, a storm in the Czech Republic. I don't know if you caught that or not. Did you?
No, okay. I don't think I did.
Well, winter storms in the Czech Republic are not that unusual. But what happened this time was the jet stream came down to ground level and wiped out thousands of square miles of pristine forest that they had there.
Oh, yes, I did. Know what? I didn't get to read the story because the version I had seen was in a language I couldn't understand. But I saw the photos. And I mean, it was unreal because what I saw, it looked like the I don't know if I'm saying this right, the Tunguska Siberia asteroid impact. Yeah, we're talking about entire forests were flattened. Yes,
entire
I remember that.
Entire forests were flattened. And
hold on a second, John. I'm sorry. But he does know the routine, of course. John Moore, our guest today. Check out the show tomorrow afternoon, 1 to 3, here on RBN, and we have some time with him. I'll tell you what, folks, amazing stuff. We'll be right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio and more from our guest, John Moore. Stay with us.
different. But to the wind, the sun, and the rain, we can be that day. Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper. Baby, take my hand.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, our Friday edition, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and welcome, my friends, to the big show. Pleased, honored, and flattered to have our guest with us here today. His name is John Moore. You know the name. You know the material. I guarantee you've never heard this stuff before. This is breaking news, groundbreaking, and so pleased to have him with us here today. John Moore, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Frank.
You were just talking about this, the storm in the Czech Republic.
Well, there's been no explanation of what that storm was. It's been called an anomaly. They couldn't call it a tornado. Anybody who looked at those photographs knows that's not the kind of destruction a tornado does. You can't hardly call it a hurricane, although I think there's been some attempts because it's, the nearest body of water is hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
Wow.
And hurricanes are a phenomenon that take place over water and nearby land masses. What that was, Frank, was the jet stream coming to the surface of the earth. And there's been other examples of that, even in the United States recently. In fact, even here in Missouri, we had a little bit of it in the spring of 2003. So this isn't supposed to happen. The jet stream is supposed to stay up there 4 or 5 miles high, or it can just zip along at 300 miles an hour and nobody knows the difference.
Right.
And when it comes down to the surface of the earth, you got some real big problems, and that's what happened in the Czech Republic 3 weeks ago today.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Now, do you want to know what causes that to happen?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Everything related to weather on this planet is because of what happens with our sun. Everything that happens with weather on our planet is because of solar-related activity. Now, what can change or affect our sun? Well, other planets, other bodies, I should say, coming into our solar system can affect our sun. There is a, what they call a 10-year solar cycle that they've been measuring and observing with modern instrumentation now for a number of decades, where for 10 years the solar activity will increase to a high point, and then for 10 years it will decrease to a low point. When I say solar activity, I mean things like solar flares, coronal mass eruptions, these kinds of matters. The high point was supposed to be nearly 3 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, for solar activity, and we should be well into the third year of decreasing activity. What's happened instead is ever higher levels of solar flares and coronal mass eruptions, including X-class flares, which are the most dangerous. X-class flares can shut down power grids and cause severe storms. That's what X-class flares from our sun can do to us.
They can crash airplanes, too,
they can knock out electronics on anything, whether it's satellites or a jumbo jet with 400 or 500 people on it.
Jeez.
Absolutely, they can do that.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I try to keep up with the solar activity. I just think the northern lights are pretty neat when you can see them in Florida and Texas. Those things are amazing to me when something like that happens. Obviously, it's unnatural, but I remember there was one CME that I believe was it was off the charts. They said, you know, our scale doesn't go this high.
The instrumentation was set up with parameters in mind by these scientists. And it's not just once, but quite a few times now, the last 2 years, these CMEs, coronal mass eruptions, and X-class flares have, so to speak, pegged the needles. And they have to extrapolate mathematically to try to figure out how strong these things really were. Because the instrumentation wasn't set up with these size flares in mind.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And what can cause that to happen is a large new body coming into our solar system. What we all learned in high school, Frank, was Newtonian physics regarding our solar system, basically gravity and magnetism between these large heavenly bodies. There's another aspect of this, and Professor McCanny, James McCanny, has written some interesting papers on this. Electricity. About half of what goes on out there in our solar system is electrical in nature, and that's what's driving a lot of this, is the electrical nature of our planetary system being a huge electrical capacitor. You call it a battery, for want of a better word, for people to understand this. Our solar system is a huge battery full of electricity. When something really big, something the size of Jupiter, comes through here, it's not normally here, it will cause things to happen that you don't normally see, things that could be very dangerous for people on Earth because of the way it would affect our weather, the way it would affect our oceans, this ice in the Antarctic, and so forth.
Wow. Now, perfect timing there, John, coming up on a break. This is just incredibly interesting. Folks, I hope you are getting as much out of this as I am. And we will have opportunities for you to call with your questions, but I have to pick his brain first. Fair is fair. Stay with us, my friends. Our guest, John Moore, will be back with us. And, of course, we call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay tuned. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Friday's edition here of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and very excited to have our guest with us here today, fellow Republic Broadcasting Network broadcaster, our good friend John Moore. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'd like to give out your information again here, your website, thelibertyman.com, and the 800 number, should people want to pick up your book, which is entitled Feel Safe Anywhere, and your fantastic video, both of which I highly recommend. 866-965-3007, 866-965-3007, and again, obviously, John is ocupado for a little while, so he's not going to be available to talk to you at this moment if you call that number, but we will be taking phone calls in the course of this interview because this is just mind-boggling stuff. John, please go ahead here, and of course, I got a million questions myself. So.
Well, I got a couple of quick updates here.
Please.
I'm going to be having one or possibly two more seminars on video posted at my website within the next few weeks. And by Monday, I'll have a new section on my website for private consultation for security survival-related matters.
So, well, I tell you what, there is no divergence here from the material you're talking about today and the material that you specialize in. Obviously, mass phenomenon that would affect this planet. I mean, from another planetary body, environmental changes, chaotic weather, obviously would inspire quite a bit of chaotic mindsets on the part of people. People losing their minds. People saying, "Well, I never stocked up on food, and I never stocked up on energy alternatives, things like that, or maybe my house isn't going to withstand the force of this wind, so I might have to go in the interest of greed or even protecting their family." They decide they want to take whatever belongs to you and your family. So this is very important information.
Well, it is. And maybe we need to back up a little bit and try to explain a bit more about what the 10th planet, this is all about, Planet X.
Okay.
One of the first questions people ask that aren't familiar with this issue, quote unquote, when's it going to hit us, or will it hit us? Well, that's not the issue. This planetary body swings through our solar system once every 3,600 years. It's recorded twice in our Bible. The first passage would be Noah's flood. The second passage would be Moses' exodus out of Egypt.
Huh.
Now, what happens is, as Professor McCanny explains, is what's called action at a distance. It doesn't have to hit us. It's probably not going to hit us. If it did, we would have to worry about anything because it's several times the size of Earth. What it does is affect us at a distance, millions of miles away. The electricity affects our sun, which in turn affects us. And that's what we'll have to look forward to, are these effects, including the possibility of rocks, when I say rocks, meteors, hitting our planet. I managed to live 55 years, Frank, and not know that in the state of Missouri, there's a meteor crater 12 miles in diameter where I live.
I didn't know that either.
Well, I didn't know it either, but I just happened to be doing research, And I started researching these meteor hits. It turns out most of us know about Meteor Crater out there in Arizona, 1 mile in diameter. And you can walk up to the edge of it. I did it as a 13-year-old. And you can look down. There's a dual-axle dump truck at the bottom. It looks like a tinker toy. Well, that's only 1 mile in diameter. The one in Missouri that I located is 12 miles in diameter. And it turns out there's a string of these meteor hits all along the same line across the map.
Wow.
And people listening all over this country, you start researching meteor hits in your state, wherever state you might be in, and you might be as shocked as I was to find out that very large meteors have hit all over this country, and in fact, all over this planet, and they simply aren't talked about. This is kept very quiet and very private. They don't want these kind of matters discussed publicly. They simply don't.
You know, that's amazing. Now, you said it doesn't have to impact us to affect us. That's intriguing. But even if it did, you would think that a large planetary-sized body traveling through our solar system, even remotely close, if it's moving in that fashion rather than just a normal, you know, sort of lazy orbit like most of the planets here, you would think that it probably would be trailing some debris or whatnot that it had picked up. So,
well, you've hit upon the right terminology. There's what's called this is what NASA calls it, a debris field, a 250,000 miles wide on either side of it. Now, we're talking rocks here, rocks anywhere from the size of a mobile home to the size of Rhode Island. And some of these rocks are probably going to hit us.
Right.
That's more likely than not.
Yeah.
And there's what's called traveling companions, and these things are already coming in from the south. And by the way, I had a listener send me an email that she was driving along with her husband and saw Planet X and described it. You can't see Planet X unless you're in the Antarctic and have rather sophisticated astronomical equipment to observe. You simply can't. Not yet. At some point, you will be able to, but we're not there yet. And there's going to be stories and disinformation and all kinds of things being put out by the government to mislead people, to cause them to believe things are something other than what they truly are. You need to look at what they're doing as opposed to what they say. For example, the government of England is already to discreetly and quietly move their important government offices away from London, away from the low-lying areas, and into higher ground. They plan on surviving this, and one of the ways they plan on doing it is by moving their critical infrastructure, their important government offices, away from large bodies of ocean. Of course, England is an island.
Yeah.
An island nation. And they do have some high ground, and that's where they're moving their important offices to, quietly and discreetly.
That is really amazing. Now, if it impacts in the water, obviously we'd see tsunami-like activity, which would enhance any other sort of chaotic elements there.
Well, Planet X isn't going to impact in the water.
No.
Some of these meteors could.
Right, right.
And that certainly is a possibility. Now, when the ocean levels rise, there's secondary effects. For example, if the water level was to come up and create a new inland, small inland sea coming up from New Orleans, the weight of the water would possibly trigger seismic activity along these fault lines. In particular, I'm thinking about the New Madrid Fault right in the middle of the country. The New Madrid Fault, which is named after New Madrid, Missouri, which is near the epicenter of what happened during 1811, 1812, hundreds of earthquakes, comes right up where the Mississippi is. Serious earthquakes in that area could literally, and I'm not talking figuratively, literally cut the country in two for the following reasons. Oil and natural gas pipelines cross the Mississippi about 8 or 10 times, very near that area. Steel pipe welded together 18, 24 inches in diameter, Frank, I assure you, is not designed to move like a child's slinky. It won't do that without breaking.
Right.
In addition, there's fiber optics cables and The national power grid crosses the Mississippi a number of times back and forth in that area, along with railroads and interstate highways. Critical infrastructure, the locks and dams that control river traffic are in that area as well. It could cause massive disruptions on our infrastructure, which causes other massive disruptions along the way. So it's kind of a cascading effect.
Now, if it if one of these asteroids trailing behind this Planet X would impact with the ground, if it were sizable enough, you probably would see effects similar to a nuclear explosion, would you not? I mean, a significant amount.
With the exception of radiation not being there,
right.
The effects would be very similar. The overpressure, which is what causes the destruction of man-made structures and trees, of course, that would be almost instantaneous. It would be widespread depending on the size of the object and the velocity and where, you know, what it hit. If it hit in the desert in Arizona, it wouldn't have nearly as much impact as in destruction as if it would be east of the Mississippi River, where there's a lot higher concentrations of people and man-made structures.
Wow. That is really just mind-boggling. Now, we've seen quite a bit of interesting things going on out there as far as meteor stories. I've got a few here. If you don't mind, I'll just go through the headlines.
Sure.
Associated Press, June 3rd, 2004. Meteor lights up sky over western Washington state. June 3rd, 2004, Associated Press. Meteor crash report was a hoax. this one from New Zealand News Talk. This is June 27, 2004. Residents report meteor. This one is from Rents.com, June 27, 2004, large meteor observed over southeast Texas. July 7, 2004, Associated Press, thousands witness object falling from the sky, and that one is the one that we all remember. It reports all across Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Missouri. This one, ABC Radio Australia from September 7th. Oh, no, since it's Australia, it's probably July 9th, 2004. ABC Radio Australia, shooting stars to dazzle Australian skies. This one from Tuesday, July 13th, from UK Yahoo. Meteor shower triggers flood of emergency calls in Finland. This one, NewScientist.com. Asteroid impact debris can speed to Earth. That's from July 4th. And then it goes on and on. Really, there's just hundreds more. But I mean, this is something I've been trying to pay attention to as of late, and I have noticed a plethora of stories like this, including there was one, it was written as sort of a humorous story, you know, one of those little human interest ones, where a guy had walked out in his backyard and thought he saw a steaming pile of dog poop, bent down to pick it up, turned out it was a steaming hot meteor rock, and of course he got on the news and he's very pleased about that. But this is the kind of thing, folks, that you need to understand. You know, there's the whole idea of even something small, like a small penny or something being dropped off a skyscraper can do some damage to people below. I don't care what kind of, compound you might live in. If we're going to see debris breaking up over up in the atmosphere, it could do some serious damage, John.
Well, absolutely. Up until Charles Darwin published his works and they started gaining acceptance in the middle of the 19th century, scientific belief and scientific evidence all pointed to changes on our planet as being very violent and very quick in terms of mountains being created, rivers, oceans moving, land masses changing. That was scientific belief and accepted philosophy up until Charles Darwin. Darwin's philosophy and theory, which has never been proven, they needed millions of years of gradual change to have Darwin's theories be correct. So, well, everything that was accepted and believed up until then was thrown out, and they came up with this theory of gradual, slow change, creating all the things that we see about us. What's the evidence when you start digging, when the scientists start digging, is exactly the opposite. You find a cave, for example, with hundreds of animals' bones all smashed together very violently as if being crushed by a body of water throwing them against the walls of the cave all at the same time. That's really the history of this planet, is fast, violent change to bring about the oceans, the canyons, the mountains, and so forth. That's what's happened in the past, and that's what will happen in the future. Planet X could cause 300-mile-an-hour winds, could have rocks crashing into the planet, tsunamis coming up 200-300 feet high. I'm meeting in a few hours with a man who has some privileged inside information. And he says that the East Coast will be gone up to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I've met two men in the past 6 months. Both, these men don't know each other. They both served in the Submarine Corps. They both told me independently, without one knowing the other, that they specifically picked the Ozarks of Missouri to move to when they retired because of the altitude and the lack of population. That's why they picked the Ozarks.
That's amazing.
Well,
and, you know, it's so strange, John, because I have heard this from many guests, some who are, you know, operate in a more spiritual sense, and some who operate in more of a terrorist, you know, sort of sense, and some who operate terrorists, I mean, you know, the official government position of watch out for terrorism, and some who operate in a sense of, you know, hey, there's going to be a revolution in this country. Where's it going to be so I can be there? Every single person has said, you know, Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, you know, the Ozark area, as, you know, this is a safe zone. This is a place to be.
Well, there's reasons for that. And if you travel back and forth, north and south, east, west, here's why. You get east of the Mississippi, Tennessee and Kentucky, for example, the terrain is very similar, but you have a lot denser population. And that's the difference, the density of population.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Appalachian Mountains, for example, are beautiful as can be. You got nice altitude, but you're not far away from very dense population centers. And that's what makes them not as desirable a place to be. You go west of the Ozarks and get into Oklahoma and Kansas, Texas, and places like that, man, you got no more trees.
True.
And you run out of mountains.
Yeah.
You run out of mountains real quick. The Rockies, it's basically a desert. I've flown over the Rockies a number of times, and it's a tough place to live. I mean, you get into some serious altitudes real quick, and very low population densities. But man, is it tough to live out there. The weather is just absolutely brutal, and it's very, very tough. So the Ozarks presents some excellent compromises in terms of population density, altitude, and climate, and that's why it's picked so very frequently for those reasons.
That is something else. You know, you may have heard this. We're coming up on a break here, so I don't even want to ask this question yet, but I think you know where I'm going to go, and this is typical, you know, sort of response on the part of the feds as to what they see as potentially a problem. Folks, our guest today is John Moore. Check out his website, thelibertyman.com, and also this is his 800 number should you want to order his book and video, and I wholeheartedly recommend them both. 866-965-3007. Back with more John Moore and more Frankly Speaking Radio after this. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and it is Friday, and very excited to have our guest with us here today. His name is John Moore. You are familiar with him, of course. He has been on the show a few times in the past. He has his own show here on Republic Broadcasting, which airs tomorrow, Saturday, from 1 to 3 p.m., and he also has a website. You can check us out for yourselves here, thelibertyman.com. John Moore, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Frank.
Very excited. Of course, you are going to be touring with the Prophecy Club around the country here to talk about just this subject matter. And I'd have to think that the biblical implications of something like this are astounding and of high interest to people who are very aware of Revelation and Wormwood. Of course, when you look at something like what it says about Wormwood, about poisoning all the waters with this mountain falling into the sea, you think about that. If you see sea levels rise, folks, even places like the Great Lakes that are, you know, freshwater sources, not anymore. You get a big wave of ocean water in there. All of a sudden, it's not fresh water anymore, and you're going to see massive die-off of marine life, which will also contaminate the water. I mean, this is not beyond the realm of possibility. It's not just an interesting story in the Bible. This only takes an incident like the one that you're talking about here, John, to make this happen.
Absolutely. There are passages in the Bible that mention the sun standing still in the sky, the moon not moving. Up until fairly recently, these passages in the Bible were referred to as metaphors. We did not have the scientific knowledge up until fairly recently to understand and comprehend how that could possibly happen. Well, as always, science finally catches up with the Bible, and we now know how the sun can stand still in the sky and know that. You know, when the Hebrews were walking around in the Sinai desert and writing these things down, they were doing so to the best of their ability. They were writing down their observations, what they saw, what they heard, and recording it for posterity to the best of their ability. That's what the Bible is. And when the Hebrews in the Sinai desert said the sun stood still in the sky, it did stand still in the sky. And here's how it can happen. And by the way, Frank, other cultures at that time in history did have written records, did have calendars, and those written records still exist. And they record the same events happening at the very same time in China, in what's now Scandinavia, and in what's now South America. Those same events happening at the same time.
That's amazing.
Now, here's how the sun can stand still in the sky. First of all, we all know, although my grandmother, who would, if she was still alive, would be 120 years old, she died believing that the sun went around the earth. We all know the sun doesn't move in relation to earth. It's the earth that revolves around the sun. If there was a pole shift, the sun could appear to stand still for a number of hours while this was taking place.
Ah.
That is how it would appear the sun was standing still in the sky. When this event happened and the Hebrews recorded it in the Sinai Desert, the Chinese on the other side of the planet, guess what? They didn't see the sun come up the next morning when it was supposed to. And that's exactly what you would expect to happen.
Yeah.
It's precisely what you would expect to happen.
Boy, I tell you what, if that wouldn't inspire mass rioting, I don't know what would.
And this goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, these emergency plans being put in place for terrorism. Now, if people are ordered to stay in their homes because of a terrorist alert, they will do so.
That's right. We've been conditioned, John. We've had years of it. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. John, let me interrupt briefly. We're going to come back here with some more questions, some more amazing information and insight from our guest and fellow Republic Broadcasting Network talk show host John Moore in the next hour. We will have time for your questions, my friends, so be patient, be by the phones. We'll be right back after this.